Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this evening is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, and we have here the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. As a brief introduction, irony is when the outcome of a situation is significantly different from what you expect it to be. Such as if you buy a cat to help keep the varmint down, and the cat cowers in fear at the sight of a mouse. Or if you spend the whole day complaining to your sister about how your husband never helps out at the home, and then come home to find he's done all the dishes and cleaned the house. The greatest irony in the history of the world is that God should become man and die for sinners. See it right there in the name, Good Friday, the day on which Jesus died. And that's the theme of our Lenten services this year. We're going to be looking at the ironies of the Passion, how the Lord goes against the expectations of man for not a comic reason, but for a very joyful outcome for us. The first, as I already mentioned, is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector from Luke 18, 9 to 14. And the irony that the very one that we would assume is the least, has the least chance of God's forgiveness, is nevertheless the one that goes home justified. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Right away, as we begin this text, we have a problem. Unlike most of his parables, Jesus directs this one at a specific group of people. Normally, he simply teaches the parable and invites us all to listen and learn. But this one, he says, he spoke to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So right away, question comes, is he speaking to me? Am I one who thinks myself righteous and despises others? Of course, we know that we shouldn't do that. So we want to say, no, I'm not one of those. I'm learning from this parable that I shouldn't be. But if we say that, then of course we are lifting ourselves up and saying, I'm better than others. And therefore, we definitely do need this parable. So in general, our best course of action, rather than ending up in an endless loop of trying to be humble and then being proud of our humility, is simply to accept the fact that Jesus wants us to listen to what he says here. There is a little bit of irony right there at the beginning, in that the one of the few parables that Jesus directs to a certain group actually becomes universal by virtue of that group to which he directs it. So accept the fact that, yes, I am a sinner. Indeed, you hear the words that Jesus speaks here. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Again, we have a problem here because when we hear the word Pharisee, we immediately think somebody arrogant, somebody who thinks very proudly of himself, someone who is probably a hypocrite. We have no problem with Jesus telling us the sins of the Pharisees. It doesn't strike us as odd because we're so far removed from first century Judaism and we've been reading the Gospels our whole life, and this is the view of the Pharisee that we've come to accept. That, of course, wasn't true for the people to whom Jesus was speaking. To them, the Pharisee meant the very best of what Judaism ought to be. The one who did all the things that God commanded. And in the next verse, we're going to see how the Pharisee did follow the law of God. And so, in order to really understand this parable and take it to heart, we need to probably replace the word Pharisee here with another one, has a little more meaning to us. Maybe replace the word Pharisee with pastor or elder, or that guy who is the guy or girl. The guy or girl who is always at church, who is always helping out, who is always teaching Sunday school, who, whenever there is a project, is the first one to volunteer. That person who gives 10% of their income, and when the church is in need, isn't meeting its budget, gives more. That man or woman who is obviously very dedicated, and whom we would point to and say, yes, that's what it means to be a Christian. The person who is warm and friendly and outgoing and shares the word of God with his neighbor. That's the person that Jesus is talking about here, or such a person like that. Pharisee, one who exemplifies the best of what it means to be a Christian. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. For I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, you notice here that none of the things that this Pharisee prays about, none of these things are bad. Everything he does here is what he should do, and he goes above and beyond, in fact. Christ said to tithe 10% of everything you make. And this man would tithe not only 10% of whatever crop he brought in, but if he had a herb sitting on the kitchen counter, he would count the leaves and give 10% of the leaves of that herb to church. If he got a Christmas present, he would give 10% of its value to God. Went above and beyond to give to the temple, not to the church, of course, but to the synagogue and the temple. And now he doesn't fast just once a week like God says, but he fasts twice a week. Everything he describes as doing is good and something that God wanted him to do. And everything he describes as not doing is bad and something God wants him to avoid. I am not an adulterer. I am not a thief, right? Notice that even the way he prays to God is, in a sense, humble. Because the Pharisee is wise and humble enough that when he comes before God, he says, God, I thank you. He's wise and humble enough to recognize that this is not something he was able to do by his own strength. In that sense, he is echoing the words of Martin Luther, the third article, explanation, I cannot by my own reason. In some sense, and to some degree, he is coming with the correct attitude when he says, God, I thank you that you have given to me and helped me and enabled me to be a good Pharisee and a good Christian. And even the implied, it doesn't say that he stood at the front of the temple, but the fact that the tax collector stands far off kind of implies that the Pharisees standing close and coming boldly before God. But even that, to some degree, is good. What does Martin Luther say in his explanation to the Lord's Prayer? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father, and we are his true children, so that we may come boldly as true children before their true Father. The Lord wants us to come with boldness before him, knowing that he has forgiven us through Christ Jesus. And so even that boldness, in one sense, could be a good thing. In every way, outwardly at least, this Pharisee exemplifies everything that a Jew or a Christian ought to be. Nevertheless, he is not the one who goes home justified, is he? Verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And that's the irony of the parable. Having done everything correct, to the best of his ability, even coming to God to thank God for the things that he did in his good life, this man still went home in his sin. And the tax collector, having done everything wrong, except the part about repentance, of course, went home justified. This is the irony of the parable, that the man whom everyone would pick as the greatest example of what a Christian ought to be is the one whom God rejects. Why did the Pharisee not receive forgiveness? Jesus says, because of his pride, because he exalted himself. This leaves us with the same problem we discussed as we began the parable. What attitude should we have? Well, obviously Jesus is telling us that we should come before him with humble and contrite hearts, but in our sinfulness, as soon as we do that, we start thinking, how good am I? I am coming in a humble heart, unlike that Pharisee, and are once again lifting ourselves up in pride. Are we like the Pharisee or are we like the tax collector? We have a problem. Because if we say we are like the Pharisee, well, then we're going home unjustified. But if we say, I am like the tax collector, then we are in pride again, saying, I am doing the right thing. And so we end up again in a loop. However, I think we can reduce what Jesus is teaching us here to something a little bit more simpler, which really helps us out. Why is it that the Pharisee went home unjustified? When it really comes down to it, it's because he didn't ask. He didn't ask for the forgiveness of sins, and the tax collector did. Jesus says, because of his pride, but it was his pride that let him come into the presence of God, who is creator of the whole universe. And he comes into the presence of God, who owns all and is all, and he says to this God, he says, I need nothing from you. I am good enough. I thank you for what you've already given. Jesus reminds us, ask, and you will receive. Luther reminds us in the Lord's Prayer, so that we may come boldly as true children to their true Father in order to ask. The Pharisee went home unjustified simply because he didn't ask. And because he didn't ask, he didn't receive. The point of the parable is not that we should be like the Pharisee, or that we should be like the tax collector. In truth, we are like both of them in the worst possible way, aren't we? We are often like the Pharisee in his pride, and we are often like the tax collector in his sins. The point is, we are sinners. All we need to do is ask, and the Lord gives forgiveness. The point is also that we should not look down on others. That's true. That's there in the parable. But that is minor compared to the more important, glorious truth that the sinner went home justified because he asked for God's mercy. He acknowledged his sin and asked for forgiveness. The joyful irony, the glorious irony of this parable is that I and you are going to walk home tonight, justified through Christ Jesus. Not because we are like the tax collector or like the Pharisee, but because we have come into the presence of our Savior, and we have asked already at the beginning of the service, and we will again when we come up for communion, we have asked for that forgiveness. And there is nothing that the Lord delights more than to pour out his forgiveness on those who confess their sins and ask for his mercy. The irony is that Jesus did not come to save those who deserve it, but those who did not. Amen. the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds.